This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Did you see that segment on the January 5th, January 6th, the bombing incident outside the DNC RNC on Tucker's show last night? I did. And it made me ask a lot of questions as someone with some experience in investigations. Also, the inflation number came out this morning, and it's another one of those let's go Brandon moments. We'll get to that. We've got a really loaded show for you today. A lot of material to get to. Let's get right to it. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data from them. Get a VPN. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Let's get to it. I've also got another episode of the Fact Checker Clown Show here showing you exactly what they did yesterday, why they did it, and the panic, and folks, the danger where we're in a new Pravda Soviet-like environment of information asymmetries. Don't miss that.
If you're looking for a new rifle or shotgun, I wholeheartedly recommend Henry Repeating Arms. You can visit them at henryusa.com. They've got more than 200 models to choose from, plus new releases throughout the year. And trust me, folks, you cannot beat their quality and their craftsmanship. Henry's come in a wide variety of calibers, everything from 22s up to long-distance hunting rounds. And there's so many finishes to choose from. Blued steel, hardened brass and silver, antique color case, even an all-weather finish that can handle the toughest outdoor conditions. Some models have octagon barrels that are beautifully machined and polished. And they only use the best grades of genuine American walnut for their stocks. And I also like that they're made in America by a family-owned business that gives you a lifetime warranty. They have affordable models starting at $250, collectible editions that are splurge-worthy up to $3,000, and many options in between. And call them if you have questions. Their award-winning customer service team can help you find the Henry that's right for you. Start by ordering a copy of their free catalog at henryusa.com. They'll mail you the catalog with two free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals. henryusa.com.
All right, Joe, let's go.
Here we go, Dano. Here we go, baby.
So wouldn't you agree it is, the Let's Go Brandon cowbell? We've been using this a lot lately.
You got it.
Here we go. Let's go Brandon cowbell. Inflation number just came in, the year-over-year number. For inflation, a staggering 7.5%. Month over month was 0.6, highest number since I believe the early 1980s. 7.5% inflation. So if this were to keep up, which I think it will for at least the next couple quarters, hopefully not the coming years, but if it were to keep up for about a 10-year period, maybe 10 to 12 years, that would mean prices would double, if not more, in the next 10, 12 years. So as Guy pointed out to me, if you've got your investments and you've got your home and you get your salary, unless your salary doubles in 10 years and your investments double, you're actually losing money if this inflation rate were to keep up for 10 years. Now, granted, that's unlikely for 10 straight years, highly unlikely. But just to put in perspective how bad 7.5% is, that's what that means in simple math terms. In some limited circles, folks, we call that a problem. Not Biden. They want to spend even more money. You wonder why the man's approval rating is now dipped below 40. And I would argue it's probably lower than that, too. All right, let's get to this. I want to get that out of the way. Those broke this morning, those inflation numbers. Dreadful. Tucker Carlson show last night. He had a really explosive segment, folks. For those of you that missed this story, it may not, because you're not really hearing a lot about it, which is really kind of weird. There were two explosive devices planted in front of the DNC and the RNC the day before the January 6th incident over at the Capitol and the rally on the lawn. Now, you would think explosive devices planted in front of two political party headquarters, right? Obviously. You would think that'd be a massive story. I don't know. Call me crazy, but it sounds like a massive story to me, right? Now, what's really strange about this story is you don't hear a lot about it. The media is awfully quiet about it. The FBI is awfully quiet about it. They release some video here and there. They say they're looking for a suspect here. But Tucker aired a segment last. It's about 8.5 minutes long. Obviously, I can't play the whole thing. But he brings up this really important kind of component of this whole thing about these bombs that were put in front of DNC and RNC headquarters. And I want to give you kind of my input from being a former investigator myself about what I think is really going on here. Here, check this out.
Who is this person? 13 months later, we have no idea. The FBI says it has no leads at all in the case. That's very strange. The FBI has video footage of the person who planted the pipe bombs. Footage of that person sitting on a park bench outside the DNC, talking on a phone, reaching into a backpack and planting the device in the spot where Kamala Harris's security people found it the next day. Now, you'd think in the age of facial recognition software, that video might produce a suspect. You'd think the fact that person was on a phone might be very helpful since people are identified all the time in crimes by their phones. But no, no leads whatsoever. Nor apparently does the FBI have DNA evidence, and that's very weird. That means the person who planted these bombs did not leave a single fingerprint, not a single skin cell, hair, or droplet of breath on either one of the pipe bombs. This person never coughed or sneezed or exhaled moisture onto his or her gloves or onto any of the surfaces he or she touched while sneaking around the surveillance fortress that is Capitol Hill on camera the night before January 6th. Weird. People who plant bombs are almost always caught because there's a lot of physical evidence. This physical evidence was in pristine condition. But this person hasn't been caught. This person, an amateur wearing Nike Air Max sneakers, has confounded the entire FBI crime lab and eluded the largest manhunt in American history.
Folks, Tucker's not wrong. This case is bizarre. So this suspect they have, who appears on video to have dropped these devices in front of the DNC and RNC. The DNC, the device was found, according to what Tucker put out in a report last night, by Kamala Harris's security team, which, because she was vice president-elect, would have been the Secret Service. Now, the Secret Service has a memorandum of understanding with the FBI that the Secret Service only plays a small role in any pursuant investigation. I hope you understand that. For obvious reasons, Joe, think about it, right? If there's an attack on a protectee and it's because of something the Secret Service screwed up, they shouldn't be investigating themselves.
Right.
So the FBI investigates. So you get why that's happening? Because I got a couple of questions like, hey, why isn't the Secret Service investigating? Well, that's why. There's a memorandum of understanding there. So the FBI will take it over. But this is really bizarre, folks. So you have this guy on video. Now, granted, he appears masked up and well-cloaked with a hood. Looks like he may have gloves on. So he was clearly... let's say a professional. I don't mean by he was being paid. I mean, he knew what he was doing and or she and covered their tracks well. But I'll ask some of the questions Tucker asked and I'll layer on some other things as well. If he was on his phone, was he making a call? Even if he wasn't making a call, they can triangulate. There's various ways to locate numbers within a certain, you know, cell phone tower area. Was it a burner phone? If it was, again, it speaks to a level of sophistication. Also, what they can do with video cameras, especially in a place like Washington, D.C., that has a network of video cameras and surveillance cameras everywhere, is they can reverse track the person back. Oh, we see him here. Well, where's the camera before that? Well, it's here. And where's the camera before that? And it's here. Eventually, you get back to a car they got out of and a license plate or a business they walked out of. He had to come from somewhere. He had to come from somewhere. Why don't we know that? I mean, really, I'm asking questions. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. If the phone was in fact a burner phone, can they trace it? Can they trace it back to the place of purchase? Can they trace it back? Why haven't we heard about that? Why isn't he reverse tracked back to a location? Now, the answer may be an obvious one. The answer may be, well, the last spot we found him, there's no cameras there. We didn't have any access to cameras. Well, do you have a Ring doorbell? Do you have anything? And if not, did the person know that? Oh. Did the person doing it know that the place he got out of his car or the house he walked out of, right? He wasn't just planted there, right, folks? Like, everybody gets what I'm talking about, right? He wasn't just planted there like the Tooth Fairy dropped him in, right? He got there somehow. He either left the location, he didn't emerge from the ground like those things from the War of the Worlds and the Tom Cruise movie. He either walked there, was transported there by car, or flew in there and got off at an airport and then got in a car and then got and then was dropped off at the location. He had to get there. How did he get there? And if where he landed or where he got out of the car was an area that had no surveillance cameras, doesn't that answer a very valuable question? Was this guy a rookie or was this guy a professional? Let's ask another question here. This is what happens when you do this stuff for a living, and not just me, but the millions of others who've been investigators, you always think, and then what? FBI sources. The FBI has a pretty good dragnet of sources. You're telling me no sources knew this guy? No one? Nobody knew this guy or woman. We don't know who, if it was a guy or a woman. We don't know how he identifies either for the leftists out there. We're not sure. I'm not sure what his pronouns are, leftist, but kind of weird. He did this all by himself, managed to get potentially a burner phone, elude surveillance cameras by ducking into the one dark spot in Washington, D.C. And he did it all without contacting or being known by any sources. Or a man, this guy's some pro. Really strange. Even Al-Qaeda people who want to, who want to murder and torture and kill people aren't that cryptic with some of their stuff. They were easier to find. Really strange how in the World Trade Center bombing, they got a partial VIN number from a van and wound up tracking it back to the person who rented it, but they can't seem to find where this guy came from. Here's another one for you. Because you have these explosive devices intact, those explosive devices contain materials. Those materials can typically be tracked. Not maybe back to the specific spot, but were they exotic materials? Was it just standard black powder? Was it the pipe? What kind of pipe was it? Was it a kitchen timer, as it looks like it's been indicated on? Were there any fingerprints or DNA on any of that? And if there weren't any fingerprints or DNA, and the materials used were not exotic, meaning it would be very difficult to track them to a specific location, there's no DNA at all, and then the guy may have had a burner phone and managed to avoid surveillance, doesn't it say to you that that looks like a real professional there? That kind of says that to me. Kind of says it to me, and I haven't been an investigator in 10 years. Which leads to the second question here. What could the possible motive be? And we're going to operate, unlike the media, on the principle of Occam's razor. Occam's razor, known as keep it simple, stupid, but also known in more exotic ways, ironically. I love that. Given all possible explanations for this crime, we should accept the one that requires us to assume the least. In other words, keep it simple, stupid. What could be the possible motive? Well, the obvious motive could be destruction, because the person's a terrorist and wants to use terror for some political narrative to advance some political purpose. But that seems unlikely, doesn't it? Seems unlikely because neither of the explosive devices detonated, and at least according to Tucker's report, the timers were set in such a way that they wouldn't have detonated on January 6th when the counting of the electoral votes was going to happen at the Capitol. So kind of a weird political statement to make when you're not making a statement at all. Also, wouldn't you be risking getting caught leaving the evidence behind? Well, Dan, you just said he could have been a professional, not left any DNA. Yeah, but the thing about DNA is you can never quite be sure it's all gone, right? DNA doesn't like jump out like a fingerprint. You can't like put a UV light, some tape and powder on it. DNA's DNA. It's kind of hard to see. Was it a distraction, like some people in the Capitol Police have alluded to? Well, if it was a distraction, then why didn't the devices go off? A distraction for what? For a bomb squad unit to go and get an explosive that was set to explode the day before but didn't? Given all possible explanations, except the one that requires the least amount of assumptions. Setting it up like I just set it up with you, I have to assume the least when I assume this person was a professional. If what the FBI is telling us, and believe me, I'm not taking them at their word, but I don't have any other information. I haven't had a great inside source on this like I did on Spygate. I wish I did, but I don't spin your wheels. Taking this at face value, this was a professional. No DNA, eludes phone tracking, eludes video camera surveillance, at least to put to the point of departure where he leaves the car or home. eludes the FBI source network and manages to use a bunch of components that can't be tracked anywhere. Even kitchen timers typically have some serial number somewhere. Not that it can be tracked to the exact location. You don't know where it ended, but it's not impossible to track some, especially exotic explosives. It says to me, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a level of sophistication here, which says to me that if it was a sophisticated attempted hit, that there's something they're not telling us. There's something they're not telling us. I'm going to follow this story. I know Julie Kelly's been all over it as well, because this story, I'm telling you from my experience, is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard in my life, that they don't have a single lead on who this guy or woman could have been. It's just bends credulity like this to the breaking point. All right, moving on. I'll tell you something I do have a pretty good source on. The Biden administration is panicked about the trucker rally, the freedom rally, the freedom convoy coming to the United States. Panicked. By the way, I will be covering this topic. I don't even tell you who the guest is, but I because it's going to be a surprise. But someone who knows, I am going to be covering this on my show on Fox Saturday night at 9 p.m. So check it out, unfiltered. Set your DVR. I'm going to be covering this because I think the trucker rally may be coming here. Folks, a trucker rally here will destroy Biden, and he knows it. Not just for the reasons you think. Oh, yeah, it'll destroy him the way it destroyed Trudeau because it'll take a stand against the mandates. Yeah, that's, you're right, 100%. I'm not gaffing that off. But that's not it, folks. Trudeau has never been, Justin Trudeau, of course, the Prime Minister of Canada, has never been a hero to the working class. He's a pompous, arrogant little snot who's lived a privileged life, and he appeals only to upper-crust liberals, Trudeau. That's never been Biden's story. Remember the story about damaging political narratives? Joe, how many times we got to tell this story?
Oh.
What are the most damaging political narratives in the world? The ones that change your pre-existing notion of who someone is in politics, right?
Right.
The fact that Trudeau can't stand truckers now and thinks they're Nazis or whatever is totally unsurprising. It'll do a little bit of damage, but it might not be catastrophic because those people never liked Trudeau anyway. But that's not the image old working class Scranton kid Joe Biden, dirt under the fingernail, my pop said this. That's not the image Joe Biden's tried to project. He's the return to normal working class. I'm a union guy, right? Right. Weird, right? That Biden then would find himself on the other side of the very class of people he claimed to defend. The most damaging political narratives change the notion of who you thought they were.
Joey, baby.
Joey, baby. Joey, baby. That's Angelo from Andrew. Joey, baby. And the fake story, too.
Yeah.
Now, Joey, baby. Now, this will destroy him, not just for the reasons, the obvious ones, that it will be a siren call for freedom and liberty, just like it is in Canada, and will cause him a massive PR headache. But secondly, because he can't attack them. Trudeau can attack whoever he wants. Nobody takes this kid seriously anyway. He's a kid. Nobody does. He's a joke. You ever see that video of him trying to shake hands? I think it's with Bolsonaro from Brazil, and Brazil just don't, and Bolsonaro gasps. So it's the greatest video ever. Gasps him off completely. No one takes this guy seriously. Biden is supposed to be the working class hero. I want you to listen to this. You'll see what I mean. Always bring the backup here. Here's the evidence. Listen to Psaki yesterday. When Peppermint's asked about the trucker rally, notice what she doesn't do. This is smart on their part. They don't attack the truckers because she understands what I just told you. If he's the working class guy, they can't be on the wrong side of one of the largest working class group of people in America, our heroic truckers, right? Watch Psaki dance around this question. She noticed she never attacks the truckers. Check this out.
What we've seen with these requirements is across a range of industries, vaccination requirements have been implemented with no disruptions, have helped increase vaccinations. These requirements help protect more people from COVID. And there's been zero indication across these industries that they would lead to disruptions, including on this policy. We, of course, support, as you know, the right to freedom of speech and protest. But while we do see some of these increased congestion due to protests. It's clear that these disruptions have broadened in scope beyond the vaccine requirement implementation. We are, of course, in touch with our Canadian counterparts, but I don't have any updates in terms of specific steps.
Did you notice that? She goes right to the mandates. She doesn't talk about the truckers at all. Did you see that? You catch what she does there? Because she understands totally, completely, that this will be a political narrative for Joe Biden that will destroy him and to put his approval ratings potentially into the 20s. So I say to the truckers, thank you for everything you're doing. You have an opportunity to change things here as well. All right, let me get to my next sponsor. And on the other side, I want to show you how the media now, again, doesn't know what to do. Whenever the media is in a scattershot mode and doesn't have a single message, they drive home like the Borg in Star Trek. And you see messages coming from everyone. They're white supremacists. They're Nazis. It's a siege. It's an insurrection. It's a Plinko game. Whenever you see this on the left, they're usually better at this. You know they're in a panic and you know the tide's turning. I'll show you next how now they're starting to worry that it's, quote, escalating by the hour. Here, I want you to listen to this cut from CNN, how the media is now. They don't, again, first it was a white supremacy rally. Then it was a Nazi rally. Then there was child abuse going on. All this stuff is made up, fabricated nonsense. Then it was a siege and an insurrection and an occupation. And now you'll see they're starting to consolidate around and defend Biden. And now they're worried about what I just told you. More evidence. Psaki's panicked and Biden's panicked that, hey, man, this is escalating by the hour. Check this out.
Politicians are starting to get together, seeing what they can do. And the fear that I have heard from regular everyday people, not just in this city, Jake, but just around Canada, saying if this is the kind of civil disobedience, you know, that is tolerated, they fear for what can happen next. And that, you know, that fear is real. I mean, consider what happened in Toronto in the last few hours. Police say on social media they heard rumors that another protest might pop up, and they had to go to really seal off the provincial legislature there. This is escalating almost by the hour.
Do you sense it? You know, I never, ever, the one thing I care about the most is my credibility and that you don't think you're wasting your time here. I listen to a lot of shows. If I feel like the show is wasting my time and doesn't want to put in the work, I am out in an instant. I never go back. You're not wasting your time here. I told you on yesterday's show that this is how you sense the panic. When you sense this scattershot messaging where they're not laser focused on one point, right? Pay your fair share, whatever. You know, you've heard all the talking, but they're all over the place on this trucker thing because they're scared. You hear it in Psaki, which happened after the show yesterday, and now you hear it in the media too, rushing immediately to their defense. Escalating by the hour. There's a real fear here. As my grandmother Eileen used to say, just like I says, you're going to see this get worse, especially if these trucker convoys, and I'll cover this on my show this weekend, if those trucker convoys start here, they don't know what to do. All right, moving on. Folks, I can't emphasize to you again in strong enough terms the growing danger of the blue stack. What's the blue stack? I covered it on yesterday's podcast, and I really, really need you, if you would be so kind, to listen to yesterday's show. The blue stack is this stack of entities, entertainment community, academics, liberal activists, the media, Democrat politicians that are all working in tandem to enact this new totalitarian state where there's information asymmetries, where the left can speak and speak freely on the biggest platforms in the world, ScrewTube, Facebook, whatever, and the right has to parse every word or they'll be fact-checked, silenced, sued, put in jail. Don't laugh. I'll show you the DHS story. I talked about that yesterday too, coming up. I have never, ever seen it so bad, ever. Here's a perfect example. So the Biden crack pipe story that was making the rounds on social media the other day, I want you to watch how the Biden administration, they don't have to talk to each other, whether it's open collusion, a wink and a nod, or if it's just the left-wing media understanding exactly what to do. Whenever they sense a damaging narrative like the trucker convoy, you saw the CNN jump in and you saw Psaki run defense, they always have to rush to defense. So let's go through how this started. The growing danger of the blue stack and the fact checkers and everything. So the Washington Free Beacon ran this story. Biden administration to fund crack pipe distribution to advance, quote, racial equity. It's a $30 million program. Will provide smoking kits to vulnerable communities. This was February 7, 2022 by Patrick Half. It's a Washington Free Beacon. Okay, it's pretty centrist outfit. Pretty centrist outfit. Here's the quote from the Free Beacon article that drove the administration crazy. The $30 million grant program, which closed applications Monday and will begin in May, will provide funds to nonprofits and local governments to help make drug use safer for addicts. Oh, really? Included in the grant, which is overseen by HHS, are funds for, quote, smoking kits slash supplies. Listen to this line. A spokesman for the agency told the Washington Free Beacon that these kits will provide pipes for users to smoke crack cocaine, crystal methamphetamine, and any illicit substance. So they reached out to HHS, the Washington Free Beacon, who, according to their piece right there, a spokesperson told them that they would provide, quote, pipes in the, quote, smoking kits. So there's how it all began. Again, what are the most damaging political narratives? You get the point.
Right.
So you're the Democrats, Joe. You're in it for the little guy. And all of a sudden, you're being associated with smoking kits and a spokesman's talking about crack pipes. The little guy who lives in a drug-laden neighborhood in an area probably run by Democrats getting smoked, pun intended, by high crime is probably like, nah, I'm not really into the whole smoking kits thing. Not my bag of donuts. Of course, who rushes to their defense? The Soviets. You know the Soviets. The blue stack. Now, you can tell the White House was panicking because here's Peppermint again yesterday when asked about the smoking kits, even though HHS had already commented to the Washington Free Beacon saying, no, there's no crack pipes. I think she says it was never part of the... Never? Really? So that person from HHS lied? Listen to Psaki try to run interference, and she doesn't do it particularly well either. Check this out.
HHS just put out a statement clarifying around some reports that crack pipes would be part of the safe smoking kits that are funded by the administration. But can you clarify for us, were they never a part of the kit, or were they removed in response to this reporting and this pushback?
They were never a part of the kit. It was inaccurate reporting, and we wanted to put out information to make that clear.
What is in the safe smoking kit?
A safe smoking kit may contain alcohol swabs, lip balm, other materials to promote hygiene and reduce the transmission of diseases like HIV and hepatitis.
Lip balm?
Lip balm, Joe. She's Susie Chapstick all of a sudden. Alcohol swabs? So why not just write in the grant alcohol swabs and lip balm? Why did you describe it as smoking kits? Now, showing you how this likely was what HHS said it was initially to the Washington Free Beacon, Javier Baqueria, as Joe Biden calls him, from HHS, their HHS put out a statement. They put out a statement afterwards, and I want you to very carefully read this statement. This is after the story got wind. HHS and ONDCP are focused on using our resources smartly to reduce harm and save lives. Accordingly, no federal funding will be used directly or through subsequent reimbursement of grantees to put pipes in safe smoking kits. Why is accordingly in there? Why is accordingly in there? Is that indicating a subtle change in policy? Is that indicating that the first comments to the Washington Free Beacon about pipes being in those kits had to change accordingly? Why the delicate language? Why not just say no federal funding was ever designated to be used for pipes? Why not say that? Does that sound to you like a dipsy-doo flipperoo? Now, here's how I know the dipsy-doo flipperoo was causing him big problems. Because who jumped in immediately? The clown site. And believe me, I mean clown site. Whenever you see something from lead stories, whatever they say, assume the opposite is true, and you will almost always be right. Here's the clown site lead stories, who, as producer Jim noted from the radio show, they didn't even put a name on this at all. Lead story staff, because I think they're so embarrassed they had to write it. Right? Look at it, Joe. Lead story staff. Well, who's that? Fact check. Biden administration is not funding crack pipes, heroin for drug use. The clown show, whatever you say, I'm telling you, whenever you see something from lead stories, you know it's a political hit job on the right, and that this, the opposite is almost always true. Now, Snopes tried to jump in the mix too, which is kind of hilarious. I'll get to that in a second, because Snopes got humiliated yesterday. Snopes has never been a serious site about checking facts ever. Like, everybody gets that. Lead stories is far worse, I must say. But Snopes is a joke too. Snopes got clowned yesterday, and they were forced to change their designation because everybody was laughing at them. Let me get to my next sponsor. I'll get to that in a second. Showing you again how this blue stack collapses when we highlight like a laser our attention on it. So, of course, when lead stories jumps in and fact checks a story, you know the Biden administration is terrified of the political narrative, just like the truckers. So Snopes tried to jump in too. This is hilarious. This is from Bongino.com. Our website, it's in our newsletter today, bongino.com/newsletter, if you want to subscribe. It just says sign up here. Snopes hilariously attempts to fact check the Biden administration crack pipe giveaway story by our good friend Matt Palumbo. This is what, according to Snopes, this is what they wrote. The crack pipe distribution program here, quote, was just one of around 20 components of the grant program and far from its most prominent or important one, despite being the primary focus of outraged news reports. The purpose of the program was to reduce harm and the risk of infection among drug users, not to advance racial equity. All of that was a secondary consideration. So Matt says, this is this show. So in other words, according to Snopes, it's not true that the Biden administration has a program to distribute crack pipes to addicts, because the Biden administration has a plan to distribute crack pipes to addicts in combination with other policies in a similar theme. Well said, Matt. Well said. Yes. So Snopes had initially rated that story false after being mocked everywhere and laughed at, just like the clowns that leads to people don't even waste their time with lead stories because it's such a joke site. Of course, after that, Snopes changed their designation to not false, but outdated, because the HHS released a numero saying accordingly. Now, of course, the GOP had a pounce on all this. If you want to see these headlines, you know, GOP pounces stories, damaging political narratives to the left. The story becomes about the GOP response. GOP outraged at Biden plan. What's the next headline? That's at The Independent. You can see all the headlines. Despite right-wing Twitter frenzy, not real. Notice all these stories are focusing on the Republican response, not the Biden smoking kit story. Here's another one with the pouncing. The pouncing's everywhere, folks. You can see it everywhere. Is there another one? Oh, that's it. Okay, thanks. You should have put the original screenshot up. It was funnier. The search instead. Jim had a search thing up there where all it was GOP pounce stories. Speaking of the fact checker, the fact checker scam, here's another one. Experts say changes to CDC's vaccination definition are normal. So again, the CDC's credibility has gone down the tubes. What's a damaging political narrative? One that changes who you thought an entity was. CDC, years ago, people thought, oh my gosh, the CDC, that's a pretty serious entity full of pretty serious scientists. It's kind of weird. Since the vaccines started losing their efficacy, people started changing their definition of what an anti-vaxxer was. And it turns out the CDC changed their definition too. Now, nobody disputes that happened. But here we go. The AP fact checkers had to jump in because Tom Massey, who's a great Republican congressman, Tom Massey said, hey, listen, why did you guys change this? Does this have something to do with the vaccines losing their efficacy? So here's the AP's fact check. This is hilarious. They don't at all dispute the fact that the CDC changed the definition of vaccines. But they say, Joe, this is missing context.
No.
The CDC has altered the language. Oh, yeah, of course. The definition of vaccination on its website, including after the development of COVID vaccines. But the changes were made to prevent potential misinterpretations and did not alter the overall definition according to the agency. So let me just get this straight. The fact that they're checking that the definition changed is 100% correct. But because the CDC told you something, you take it at face value and you assume the context by which Massey discussed it, that, hey, does this have anything to do with the waning efficacy of some of the vaccines? You just naturally assume that Massey's wrong and that your government masters, who you kiss their asses, are right. This, you again, you want to talk about the danger of the new Pravda Soviet information asymmetrical ecosystem we're walking into? There it is for you right there. Thank you, Joe. So that is the national anthem of the Associated Press and big tech every single day.
My man.
Every day. They are not checking a fact. The fact on both of those things is accurate. The HHS grant included money for smoking kits. That's what it said. The CDC definition of vaccine was changed recently. Those are facts. All you're talking about is your opinion about whose opinion is right. That's why Facebook couldn't defend these fact checkers in court. Nobody can. It's a clown show. Like Bill McCarthy from PolitiFact yesterday. Dan Bongino stated, I stated no such thing. You just made that up. It's totally made up. You're checking a fact that doesn't exist anywhere. And by the way, he never met my offer yesterday to produce the audio of me saying that, because he can't, because he's a liar. He lied. I didn't state anything. This is who these people are. This is why, Rumble, we don't use these idiots. Fact checker. You need a fact checker. You can be the fact checker. You can do your own homework. All right, let me move on to a couple of just quick stories I want to get to first. Trevor Noah, this story just speaks to more than just the entertainment community and these liberal losers who hate us all. Remember my golden rule, right? Liberals think we're bad people with ideas. That's important. Liberals don't think we're people with bad ideas. They think we're bad people with ideas. That's why they never argue the ideas. They hate us. And you need to understand that. I just want to put this story up as a demonstration of that exact point. It's from The Blaze. Be in my newsletter again, bongino.com/newsletter. Check it out. The Blaze is The Blaze has a story of Daily Show host Trevor Noah gets lambasted online for his hypocrisy on the Joe Rogan controversy. Long story short, he did a 16-minute segment just shredding Joe Rogan, Trevor Noah, which is really weird because when Trevor Noah got into trouble for some unquestionably inappropriate jokes himself, oh, look, who defended him? Yeah, Joe Rogan, who tweeted out nothing he, talking about Trevor Noah, nothing Noah said was out of line. And he's a funny dude. F the haters, Noah. I put that out there again to warn you. You will get no mercy from these people. They're not interested in some rapprochement. They're not interested in campfire songs. They're interested in your destruction and only your destruction and preferably in the most miserable way possible. They think you are bad people with ideas. And that's why they show no mercy. And if you don't understand that, then this isn't the right show for you. You want cutesy time? You can go listen to The Dispatch and that Charlie Zeke or whatever his name is. You can go listen to them. They'll kiss the ass of the left all the time, thinking they're the last one under the guillotine. Well, good luck with that. Here's one more Republicans pounce, by the way. You know, these mask mandates that are being pulled? This is a great one from CNN. Republicans seizing on backlash to new mask and vaccine mandates. They can't help it. They can't. We call them out on it. They can't help it. All right. You know what? Let me get to my last sponsor. I got a lot more. Don't go anywhere, please. I got a lot more ahead, including another You're Not Wasting Your Time segment. And I think the most important story. I said Jen Psaki speaking about misinformation and censoring people from the podium was the biggest scandal of the Biden administration. I don't know. I think I have a bigger one. We kind of teased it yesterday a little bit. This is getting really ugly. As I said to you, and I'm as serious as a heart attack with this, I thought the biggest scandal emerging from the Biden administration, which went underreported outside of Fox, was Jen Psaki from the podium, from the White House podium, a taxpayer-funded facility. She is a taxpayer-funded employee. Calling for censorship from the podium was the most was the biggest scandal of the Biden administration. I'm starting to think this one is bigger. This goes in the what the hell is this file? I know where the Democrats are copying the Chinese Communist Party surveillance model to surveil and spy on Americans. We get that. That's fairly obvious at this point. But are they modeling their law enforcement model too? Look at this story from CNN. And if you watched yesterday's show, you know exactly where I'm going with this. CNN Politics. Department of Homeland Security bulletin warns the trucker convoy could disrupt Super Bowl Sunday. A DHS bulletin issued on Tuesday to state and local officials obtained by CNN said the agency, quote, has received reports of truck drivers planning to potentially block roads in major metropolitan cities in the United States in protest of, among other things, vaccine mandates for truck drivers. DHS has received reports? How have they exactly received those reports? Is anyone curious about this? And I ask you, if that story was about BLM and DHS was receiving reports, wouldn't the media be kind of curious as to who was reporting BLM to DHS? I'm just asking questions here, right? Kind of weird how they're receiving reports and no one in the media asks any critical questions about it. Have they broken any laws? Has there been a threat to break any laws? Is this a national security issue? I'm just asking. Now, I want to go back to yesterday's article on Bongino.com, which you really should read. We discussed this yesterday. DHS terrorism bulletin warns of a terror threat from people, quote, spreading false narratives that undermine trust in government. This is from a DHS bulletin. They say that the complexity of the threat environment, they point to some factors. One, the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. It's, again, really odd because I thought there was a First Amendment that protected our God-given right to undermine public trust in government institutions if government institutions are failing us or lying to us. We're not what we're supposed to just encourage the public to trust government institutions when we find evidence of corruption or lying? I'm just asking. This is real. Now, I'm going to be doing an entire monologue you haven't heard before on the Fox show this weekend about this growing surveillance threat. This is the biggest scandal of the Biden administration right here. We are turning into a police state. DHS monitoring subversive narratives? Are they threatening narrative? What are you talking about? I want you to listen to these. We'll look at these stories too. Vice Magazine. NSO Group gave Pegasus spyware demo to the NYPD. Oh, Pegasus. Remember Pegasus, Joe? We're not talking about the horse from Clash of the Titans. Pegasus is a spyware program that basically hijacks your entire phone, including your microphone and your camera. Imagine that. Microphone and your camera hijacked. Everything you put in your keyboard, basically your entire life. What'd the NYPD want with that? Oh, Dan, it's just the NYPD. Oh, no, it's not. Here's a story from The Guardian from February 2nd. The FBI confirms it obtained NSO's Pegasus spyware. Bureau says the sophisticated hacking tool was never used in support of any investigation. Why'd you want it? Why'd you want that? Folks, as I said to you yesterday, the distinction between the private and public self and a clear line between the two is the only hallmark of a representative democracy in a constitutional republic. When everything you do is public and everything you do can be accessed by the public and big tech and the FBI and the NYPD and the DHS and the Biden administration, you no longer live in a free country. How this isn't a bigger scandal right now, this DHS memo, and how they're, quote, receiving reports on the truckers is an entire mystery to me. And I say to the left that used to pretend to believe in civil liberties because you never really did. Where the hell are you now? Where's the ACLU? Where are you? Why aren't you linking arms with us right now? All right, moving on. This is, again, from the Not Wasting Your Time segment. Yahoo News. CDC pleads for caution, but governors may be done listening. I want you to notice this last line, talking about the waiver of the mask mandates. What have I always told you about the mask mandates? It's going to be quick because I got to get to some video audio next, but What have I always told you about the mask? Why the left loves the mask? It's not because they're particularly effective. That's not it. The efficacy is limited at best, right? So why is the left so in love with the mask? Because, folks, the left lives off fear. Remember my Walking Dead hypothesis, right? The only way you get people to walk into a prison is if they think walking into the prison will secure them from what's more dangerous on the outside. But to get them to walk into a prison, ideological or physical, you have to scare them. And what is the visual symbol of fear that we're in a pandemic all the time? If you listen to this show, you've heard me say this so much, you could probably repeat the words now. The mask. A visual symbol that you should be afraid all the time. So I want you to listen to this quote from Yahoo News, showing again, I was not wasting your time. The left loves the mask because you can see it, and it reminds you of the fear you should be bathing in. CDC Director Walensky said at a briefing yesterday that the pandemic response team, during which she and others faced a series of questions about how long mask mandates, the most potent symbol of pandemic life, would remain in place. There it is. Yahoo News. The most potent symbol. They get it. They all get it. They're just winking and nodding the whole time. All right, let me move to this. This is my last story here, but it's an important one. Regarding the mask mandates and now the disparity between Democrat states and the White House. Democrat states are seeing the polls of people are sick of the fear porn. They don't want to walk around being reminded every day about the corona anymore. They want to live their lives. The White House doesn't know what to do. So the mask mandates are causing them real problems because Democrat governors are saying, we're done with these things. And the CDC is saying, maybe you shouldn't be done with these things. But I want you to listen how Psaki, when asked about this, how she attacks Ron DeSantis and completely makes up this thing. The governor of Florida is getting in the way of you wearing a mask. He was? All he said was, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It's up to you. Notice how she lies, showing you again, they know this is a damaging political narrative. Check this out.
Another state today dropping the indoor mask mandate as CDC is confirming that their guidance is not changing. But these decisions that are being made at the local level, like you guys always talk about, are out of step with the science that is at the forefront of the CDC, of this White House. So why are we not hearing the same messaging criticizing states that are, you know, making these moves like we heard previously with, for instance, Ron DeSantis?
Well, I would say there is a distinct difference between standing in the way, which Ron DeSantis did, or Governor DeSantis, I'll give him his full title, of teachers, school administrators, and others taking steps to protect the students and their school communities. There's a difference between standing in the way of it, threatening to pull back funding, and allowing for local school districts to make choices, which is what a number of these states are doing.
So just to be clear, the Democrat governors did the same thing Ron DeSantis did, albeit later because the science, political science changed, not the actual science. They're heroes.
Right.
But Ron DeSantis is a demon because, Joe, he got in the way. He did. He stopped you from wearing, you know, I live in Florida. Not many people wear masks, but people do. And it's funny. I've never seen Ron DeSantis grab one of them, slap him in handcuffs, or ask the DHS to investigate them. And I haven't seen reports about people who masked themselves in Florida. Kind of weird. Here's a video you'll see on Rumble about how, again, the fraudulent media, how they play into this, the blue stack, and how the blue stack is covering for the fact that even Democrat governors are realizing that people are turning on them. Watch how they talk about in this supercut here. Watch how they talk about, this is Washington Free Beacon put this together. In the beginning, you'll hear about how they talk about Republicans. How Republicans repealing mask mandates are like heretics. And then when the Democrats do it, all of a sudden they're heroes. Weird, right? Listen to this.
In Virginia, the new Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, the man on your screen, is defending his executive order, which allows parents to decide if they want their kids to wear masks in school.
Glenn Youngkin campaigned as if he were an ordinary suburban fleece-wearing dad with moderate and inoffensive views.
Youngkin did exactly what a Republican does when they get into power. Let's look at what's going on. Let's move this state back 50 years.
Virginia Governor and Trump in training, Glenn Youngkin.
COVID politics makes a lot of Republicans governor stupid.
We know Glenn Youngkin's true colors. It's that. It's MAGA red.
New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, Oregon, and California all moved to relax their mask mandates.
These are all states led by Democrats in once hard-hit COVID zones, and they seem to be decisions driven by science, not politics.
The reaction so far has been broadly, if not overwhelmingly, positive.
positive.
The facts are great. We're headed in the right direction, as I think we hoped we would be.
More signs the country is pushing to get back to normal.
That the responsibility should shift from a government mandate imposed from the state or the local district or the school. Rather, it should shift to an individual responsibility by the family.
This follows what the governor in Pennsylvania has done. The governor in Colorado has started to dismantle a lot of those rules. New York, Connecticut, they're also looking at similar rules.
I mean, this makes your head spin, right? I mean, it's so political.
There it is, folks. Hat tip, Washington Free Beacon. The exact same policy, the repeal of mandated masks, phrased two entirely and completely different ways, depending on the politics of the situation, showing you again that the blue stack is hard at work. Covering for the police state we're turning into, covering into the CDC scientific mess they created, covering for Biden, covering for the smoking kits, covering for the politics. Just disgraceful. But the good news is you're listening to this show and you're hip to it. And when you know the terrain features of what you're walking into, you can better prepare yourself for what's coming out of that door. And that's what we're committed to doing. You're not wasting your time here. Thanks again for tuning in, folks. I really appreciate it. Please check out my radio show later. And please don't mix my my Fox show this weekend. Got an update, hopefully, on this trucker thing. You're going to want to hear 9 o'clock Eastern time. Oh, questions also. If you want to submit a question for tomorrow's show, I always forget that. I will put a post on my Locals account. Download the Locals app. I'm at D Bongino. The post will say questions for tomorrow's podcast and submit away. And you can always submit on Rumble as well, rumble.com/Bongino. Thanks a lot, folks. I'll see you all tomorrow.
You just heard Dan Bongino.